always hang my hat on, that David had been ministering down in Palenque, Chiapas in South Mexico, and I had been ministering with Brother Joel there in Coatzacoalcos, and David asked me to come do a worship seminar one weekend, or one week, for his pastors, and I went down, and during the course of that worship seminar, we were doing this in the home of Elsa's brother David, and she came to know Jesus during that time. That was the first time he met her, and I don't know exactly how much later, but they were married, and in fact, they're celebrating their 15th year anniversary coming up here in July. And so, David, we're glad that you're here, brother, and Sister Elsa, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord's going to share through you. Would you bless him as he comes up? God bless Brother David.
First of all, I really do thank the Lord because of what he has done. I'm going to share some of my experience, and I believe, well, at least I hope you receive something. If you don't, talk to me after service, and I'll make sure you get to it. I'm just kidding. Some of you guys are pretty big, so I don't mess with y'all. But anyhow, I thank God because of his grace and of his mercy. If it wasn't because of God, I tell you, I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't be here. I have been walking with the Lord 26 years, and 23 years as a missionary. Mostly in mountains and jungles and with Indian people. And from this day, I have not learned any of their dialect. When I worked with Oaxaca, Mije, Zapotecos, worked in Veracruz, Huastecas, Chiapas, Chaltal, Chol, and Maya. And the only thing I've learned is how to ask for food. That is all I have ever learned. I can't preach in their language. But isn't it amazing that even though I don't speak their language, God has been able to do a marvelous works in these areas and without me ever being able to speak their language. I thank the Lord because I turned 66 years old, but before the Lord, I used to wish and I used to think, Lord, if they ever, you know, I didn't say Lord, but I used to think, well, if they kill me, they're going to do me a favor. I wasn't quite 40 years old at the time. I was living miserable. And to me, I thought, well, if they kill me, they're going to do me a favor. Well, I'm glad they didn't. Because it wouldn't be no favor at all. But anyhow, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. When I first got saved, the first thing they told me, you need to go to church and get fed. Well, I went to church's chicken and got real good and fed. I was just kidding. But anyhow, I thank the Lord. But I want to read to you just one verse for now. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now that is a promise. That is a promise that the Lord gave them. God gives us promises. And yet, we doubt many times when he's doing something, when he's, you know, when we're going through things. It's easy to talk about faith, but when you're going through some things hard, you tend to forget about the faith. Really, you do. And like I said, it's easy to speak about it, but when you really get down to start having these things happening to you, then it's not quite like that. But, you know, I thank the Lord that many of us have gone through a lot of things. And sometimes you don't understand the things that you're going through. And sometimes you will question, Lord, why you're going through these things. Well, you know what? God doesn't owe you an explanation of why He does these things. And He allows these things to happen to you. He allows these things to happen to you. And I tell you one thing, some of these things that happen to you will hurt you. But He will never do anything to hurt you. Everything He does is for our own good and because He loves us. And He's always working in our attitudes and our character. You know, Jesus hasn't got an attitude problem. We have an attitude problem. When the Lord first spoke to me about coming to the mission field, I think it was 1979, I made one trip and I told him, and the guy told me, David, you're going to work here in Mexico. And I told him, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. I don't like cactus plants and I don't like green water. It was dirty. And Ciudad Victoria. Well, anyhow, I didn't want to be a missionary. I struggled with that. And I said it in my heart, I'm not going to Mexico. I ended up making two other trips and still complained. Well, I'll tell you the reason I didn't want to go. Because I had a good job. A good paying job. I had security, benefits. I worked for the University of Texas as a painter. And I wasn't about to give that up, being that I had a criminal record. Because of the criminal record that I had, I couldn't get a job just anywhere. Well, over there, they didn't ask you any questions. No polygraph test. So I was doing fine. Well, anyhow, as you all know, I've been a missionary for 23 years. And the problem that was happening with me is my security was on my job. My security became my job became my security. And I had to decide of what to do. And that meant leaving my job, quitting, leaving my family. Well, I wasn't married at the time, but, you know, leave my relatives and go. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I thank the Lord for that decision. I'm not receiving the benefits like I was going to receive. I don't receive the finances like they would have been given me. But I'll tell you one thing. I am where God wants me to be. And I am happy because I'll tell you one thing. God has never failed to provide every one of my needs. If God fails me this time, it will be the first time. But I have news for you. God will never fail us. He never will. And I am where He wants me to be, and I'm real happy. But I'll tell you one thing. It has not been easy. We were speaking this morning. I was talking to Nathan and his dad about when I first started as a missionary. You know, I got swept down the river. And, you know, well, I thank the Lord. You know, we could have gotten drowned, but we were rescued. 2 years later, after that, what happened to me? I went off a mountain, and I fell asleep, and I went off a mountain, and they rescued me, and they took me to a clinic. They put a cast on me, and my cast, you know, it had a roach in it, and you know, you don't always have a roach running around your legs, you know, and there this roach was. But you know, God answers prayer. I prayed for that roach to get out, and he got out, and I killed it. And God is faithful, even that, you know. But what do I do when I had ants in my bed and mosquitoes going in? And the brother told me, David, I know you're going through pain. And you know what they did when Jesus was in pain? They gave him vinegar. And that'll take your pain away because I almost, you know, broke my steering wheel with my chest when I hit it. I told him, okay, I'll take the vinegar. But he said, David, there's a problem. What's that? You're going to have diarrhea. I said, well, I don't need that. I'll have big problems then because I can't even get out of bed. But anyhow, they ended up taking me to the States. Walter Fleming took me to the States. We arrived that Thursday in the morning by 4 o'clock. 7 o'clock, they took me in an ambulance to the hospital. Well, anyhow, when I got there, they told me, David, if you would have stayed any longer, you know, they would have amputated your leg. You know, but thank God, they said, well, we're going to do it. We're going to put a pin in your leg. In 3 days, we're going to put a pin in your leg. Okay? So they took me to my room early in the morning. At night, at 12 o'clock at night, a nurse wakes me up. And she says, sir, will you pray for me? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm the one that needs prayer more than you do. I'm in the hospital. You want me to pray for you? So I prayed for her. The next day, she calls me on the phone. Sir, I talked to you last night. You prayed for me. Will you pray for me again? And will you pray for my sister? She is here also with me. So anyhow, what God was doing was bringing all these nurses so that I could pray for them. Well, let me tell you, I complained. I said, Lord, you know, I have people coming in this room and they leave. They never come out. I'm still here. But God gave me a scripture, be still and know that I am God. Well, you know, how still can I be? I mean, I couldn't move anywhere. I couldn't go anywhere. I was there for 8 days. For 8 days, I was there. But God was sending these nurses. He's sending these nurses. And one nurse came in one time. She said, sir, I don't know what you told this other nurse, but whatever you did, tell her. She went out of here crying, but something's happened to her. She said, sir, will you pray for me? And when I did, you know, I started crying too because I was wondering, Lord, you know, what's happening here, you know? But God had a reason why he wanted me there. I mean, he could have done it a better way. He could have just called me out. I had to, you know, I would have gone out. But anyhow, after I was there, I was released. I went to see the doctor at his office 3 times. And then he said, David, when I was in the hospital, he was always saying, David, you're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky. Finally, I asked him, I said, doctor, you're always telling me how lucky I am. But you know what? You will never find that word in the Bible. He said, I know, David. I know the Lord healed you. I said, can I use your phone? So I called to the hospital and find out how much I owe. You know, to this day, thank God, God picked up the tab. They never have found how much I owe them. It's not on record. Well, anyhow, 2 days later after that, here I am driving another truck. And lo and behold, I'm looking out the window, in the rearview mirror, and I see it's real cloudy. I said, man, it's cloudy today. I keep on driving. Man, it's cloudy today. I keep on driving. Come finding out, my truck was on fire. And it comes into the cab. When that comes in the cab, I just jump out. And people come around to help me turn the fire off. And I am trying to turn. We couldn't turn it off. So they decide, you know what, we're going. He said, you know what, I'm going too. So I left the truck there. You know, Sanborn has paid about for 2 vehicles of mine already. So they paid the insurance. 2 years after that, I'm still living in Chiapas now, and we're going to have a campaign. And here I am to where it's the one that's handling the equipment back there. You know, all of a sudden, I'm driving early in the morning. They have no shoulders in Mexico. And all of a sudden, this guy came on my lane. And we were both going fast. I mean, all of a sudden, we know this guy, you know, what is happening? And here we go, man, just him and I. And he saw me. I don't know what was he thinking about. He saw me. When he did, he slammed on the brakes. He hit a truck next to him. But I couldn't help it. I hit his pickup. I went over his pickup. And I counted the times that I went over. 1, 2, 3. And I stopped like that. He fled. And the lady came, the windows were all broken. We walked up, we came up to the, you know, for the windows. And the lady came and she asked, where are the dead? Well, you know, there was no dead people there. You know, so since we had tracks, you know, that draws a lot of people, we start giving tracks out to the people. But let me tell you what, God is good. And he will take us to the other side. It may think that sometimes, you know what, you know, like I said, you know, God doesn't owe you an explanation why he does that. But he does things because he loves us, and he will never do anything to hurt us. But, you know, it's a thing that I don't understand. You ever notice that the people that hurt you the most are the people that are close to you? Yeah. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. Oh, fine, brother. Then they turn around and do you wrong. I have been hurt by brothers more than I have been hurt by unbelievers. And yet God allows it to happen to me. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, God uses people to build character in our lives. I mean, it's easy to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, or love and peace and joy. But I'll tell you one thing, you ever want to punch out some brother's eyes out? keep trying to get you upset, and you forget all about love. You know, you want to go on a warpath. But I'll tell you one thing, that has happened to me. But I'll tell you the reason that happened to me is because you ever prayed a prayer, God, I want to know your love? You ever prayed that prayer, God, I want to know you, I want to know you, God, I want to know your heart. You ever prayed that prayer? Am I the only one? There's just only two of us who prayed that prayer. Well, God, I want to know your heart. Well, I'll tell you one thing, I don't pray that prayer anymore. Because I was hurt by some people a few years ago. I was deeply, deeply hurt. In fact, I had to go to a deliverance, like, you know, not a deliverance where you start casting out, you know, all kind of stuff, you know, no. It was an inner healing where I was hurt because of what had happened. And I questioned, Lord, why did you allow this thing to happen to me? Well, like I said, God didn't explain nothing to me. But when that happened, I prayed, Lord, forgive them. I forgive them. And Lord, I pray blessings upon them. So anyhow, here I am driving, coming from the rivers. And I was praying that prayer, Lord, I want to know your heart. And God gave me this scripture. He gave me Galatians chapter 5 on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And then he gave me 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. You know, love doesn't have no grudges. Love is patient. And then he said, if you would have acted any other way when they hurt you, because I didn't let anger or bitterness or hatred come into me. He said, if you would have let any other thing come and enter you, if you would have acted differently, that is not my heart. But because you asked me to pray for them and you to forgive them, you forgave them, and you pray blessings upon them, that is my heart. That is where you come to know my heart. Because you let people do you even wrong, and even when they do you wrong, you love them. You love them. One day they gave us a little baby girl. I was up in the mountains. Joel came down to visit me. And Joel and I was in the mountains. And when we came, Joel went into the house first. It was Alfredo, brother from Coatzacoalcos. And they also asked me, can you see what's in this basket? And I couldn't see what's in that basket. They said, can you see what's in this basket? I couldn't see it. So she said, come closer. And I got closer. And I saw this little bitty baby. Well, you know what? She didn't, you know, talk to me about it. She just went ahead and already had it planned out. She's going to get the little baby. And I didn't want the little baby. I didn't want it. I'll tell you one thing. Children are a blessing because after a while, you know, children can grow on you, can't they? They can really grow on you. Well, that little bitty girl started to grow on me. And we just kept her next to us and everything. And we were going to adopt her. That's why Elsa took her the same day. You know, when she delivered, she just handed her over to Elsa. And when we went to this girl to sign the papers, and then she said, you know what, I don't think I'm going to give you the baby anymore. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have ever lost someone you love, that hurts. And that hurt me. And that hurt us. And for a long time, I just cried and cried and cried. I love that little baby. And we named her Mercy Grace. Is what we named her. I think that was the only first little Mexican girl named Mercy Grace in Mexico. But anyhow, God knew all of this. He's in control. But he was doing a work in me. He was doing working in my heart. I have had many heart surgeries, and maybe you have too. I was raised in an environment where my family, they stole, they used drugs, and they killed. So that's what the environment that I grew up in. And I grew up to be real hard. I didn't let no one get close to me. And when I received Jesus, and we had this home group meetings every Wednesday, for a whole year, I would go and hardly not say nothing. I don't even think I even spoke. Until one day I made a visit to Mexico, and I saw God do something beautiful. When I came back, I had to share in my home group, and when I did, one of the ladies made a comment. She said, "I didn't know he could talk. They thought I was a mute because I had put a shell around me, and God had to do a work in that area." We tend to build a shell around us. And you know what? When we are hurt, we have already settled in our hearts. I'm not going to let this happen again. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You better let it happen again, because that's what's going to help you. I don't like being hurt, but I know it happened again, and it happened again and again. For me to say, you know what, I'm not going to love anyone. I'm not going to get involved in anything like that. I have a problem, and God has to deal with my heart. And He dealt with it. He dealt with my heart. You know, right here in the States, it isn't a problem. I mean, we eat a lot. We eat a lot. That's our national pastime is munching. We eat, and we eat, and we eat. You know what? God, out there where I'm at, don't come to visit me. I mean, I got sick enough when I was in Oaxaca. And now, out there where I'm at, you know, I've had typhoid fever 3 times, hepatitis. I've had so much stuff, I didn't even know what I had. But, you know, in all of that, God would always bring me to the other side. Where I'm at right now in the river, they throw cows, they throw pigs, they throw dogs, all in the river. And when you fish, you eat that stuff. When the cows or cattle and calves eat to drink up the water, you know, that's why I get sick a lot, you know. I get sick a lot. But even then, I don't give up. You know, at times, you know, I wanted to throw in the towel. And a lot of us have gone through, you know what, who needs this? You know, I don't need all of this. I'm just, the heck with it. It's so easier to throw in the towel than it is to trust the Lord. That's what it is. But I'll tell you one thing. As you draw into the Lord, I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. All through these things that happen to you, God allows this to happen to you. Not only because of you, because also He wants to show His faithfulness to you. If He didn't bring me out of these things, if these things did ever happen to me, I would never know God's faithfulness. So He allowed this thing to show how faithfulness He is to us. And like I said, if God will fail you the one time, it's going to be the first time. But He will never fail you. You know, I keep going back. You know, I have to go. I was telling Buddy and Nathan that I go to this doctor, and they fill me up with some shots, and they give me IVs, and they got me there for 3 days out there with a bunch of little water jugs. I don't know what it is for my headaches, and I get a bunch of parasites. You know, I didn't think people in the States got parasites. I never heard people in a parasite. I never knew what a parasite was until I got over there. But I have to go to a doctor like but once every year. You know, I thank God for doctors. You know, I don't suffer with high blood pressure, or low blood pressure, or sugar, diabetes, nothing like that. Mine's is just diarrhea and a bunch of headaches, and I got fevers, and I got this, and I got that. And, you know, I tell you one thing, I went to a village, and I sat down. It was an Easter. And I sat down, and they asked me, "Brother, do you know what you're eating?" They brought me some tamales. I said, "No, I don't know what I'm eating." They said, "You know, sometimes, you know, you don't ever ask. You know how it is, Nathan. You never ask what you eat. You just pray. You don't even want to know what you're eating. Well, I prayed. And they should have never told me what it was. They said, well, you eating monkey? I said, oh, Lord, bless this and sanctify this thing, you know. And here I am. And then they bring me another tamale. I said, oh, not another one. And then they asked me, do you know what you're eating? I said, well, I've got another monkey here. And I said, no, it's tepezcuintle. It looked like a giant rat. I said, oh, Lord, you know, sanctify for the nourishment of our body. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, you know, Wendy's looks good, even if it does got a, even if it does got a finger in there. But it looks good. You know, I'll tell you one thing, it tastes as good. Wendy does, you know. You make sure and open it up, see if you don't find a finger in there. But anyhow, I'll tell you one thing. Then they gave me this fermented oatmeal. And that's enough to choke a horse. And you take a little swallow of that stuff. And here I got it in my mouth, and I don't know what to do, and I'm ready to spit it out, but they're watching you. And you know, when you got something in your mouth you don't like, the first thing you do, you swallow it as soon as you can. But what do you do when you got some of it left? They're watching you. And I said, oh, Lord, please help me. You know, God's grace will see you through all of this. My grace is sufficient for me, for you, David. And I have learned a lot about God's grace. Because he sure has shown a lot of, bestowed a lot of his grace on me. And I just shut my eyes and drank that thing real fast because I didn't want to taste. You know, God has brought me through this, but I have it settled in my heart. Lord, I'm going to serve you, Lord. But just take care of me. You know, when Jesus was going to the cross, did he carry that cross by himself to be crucified? He didn't. He needed help. Simon was the name of the person that helped him carry that cross. Well, I'll tell you one thing. God says, carry your cross. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés, hermano? I forgot how to say it in English. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Well, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I thank the Lord for many brothers and sisters that helped me carry my cross. We need one another. Don't ever think about this long range of stuff. We need one another. When I received Jesus the first 2 years, I drank still at my house. I thought nobody knew about it. I drank and I smoked at my house. I didn't go out. And I thought nobody knew about it until the Lord delivered me from my smoking and drinking. But anyhow, I mentioned it one time. And they told me, David, we knew you were smoking. And we knew you were drinking. How'd you know that? He said, David, you got so used to your suit smelling like smoke, it didn't bother you. But for people that don't smoke, they can smell it. And, you know, I didn't know that. But you know what? They never gave up on me. They stayed with me. And they helped me. And from this day, there are many brothers in the mountains and the rivers that helped me carry my cross. Because I'll tell you one thing, I had polyps for 38 years. It's like gallstones. I'm glad they didn't develop the gallstones. But 38 years, and those pains would come upon me up in those mountains. And for 3 days, here I am in pain from 5 o'clock in the evening all the way to about 5 or 3 o'clock in the morning with these pains. And yet these brothers never left me. They were there with me. They couldn't do anything for me. All they did was read scripture to me and pray for me in dialect. But they never left me. They never left me. They stayed with me. And God has sent a lot of people into my life. Stephen Thomas, his dad was a blessing to me. You might not have known him, but Laura knows. He was a blessing to me when I first started. We were all three of us, me and him and 12 green-hearted missionaries, But he was an encouragement to me and to my life. He was a blessing. You know, for me to hike, you know, 6, 7 hours up mountains and everything, is not easy for a man my age. And then you walk into a nest of ticks. And you can't see those things because they're so little. But the brother, they're so sharp, their eyes, they can see them. And they'll take them off, but you still got them. Then all of a sudden, I'm still wondering, when you go to the restroom, you know, you ask, you know, where's the restroom? Well, you know, there's a whole jungle, brother. There's it is. Just go there. Go at it. And then you go out there and turn around. Here, you come back with a bunch of ticks more. And Elsa and I, we, you know, I thank the Lord for her. She went with me. We'll get ticks and sleep that night. We'll come and sleep in bag. And you get in the sleeping bag, you have ticks and fleas with you. Nathan knows what I'm talking about. He's been through that. You get all of that. But I'll tell you one thing. It's beautiful serving the Lord. I don't like what I go through. I wouldn't want to go through it again. But I'll tell you one thing. The reward and the benefits are tremendous someday. Here, when you turn 65, okay, you're going to retire 65, and we're going to give you your pension. Well, you know what? God hasn't got a retirement plan. As long as you're available and as long as you want it, I'll tell you one thing. You serve Him until you're 100 years old. And the benefits? Eternal life and no sickness at all. That's right. There's no retirement. I told Joe when I came out, I said, Joe, whatever you do, when I reach later on, when I get older, don't ask me to come back to the States. I wouldn't know what to do. I want to live there. I want to stay there. And I want to die because there is with my family. But let me tell you one thing. It cost me one time. I heard a brother once say, you know what, David? I have won 10,000 souls, and I lost my two sons to alcohol. Well, you know what? You hear people talk like that, but you never think, that's never going to happen to me. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was hit with surprise. I, too, have won a lot of people to the Lord. And I lost my daughter. And I lost her. I don't know if she ever came here before. The young daughter, I lost her. And I'll tell you why. I got so involved in the ministry that I neglected my family. I neglected my child. And it cost me. We have a relationship. But she is no longer walking with the Lord. I got so involved in the ministry. I neglected my family. Our ministry is to the people. Yes, I understand that. But our first ministry is to our families. And I hope it never happens to you. But you don't have to be in the ministry to lose someone. Just neglect them for a while. And you're going to start seeing some changes. And we're going to have to start spending time with her. And I never thought it would happen to me. And it did. And it did. God had restored the relationship that we had. But I pray and I pray that someday, you know, she'll come back. She has a little baby. And I'll tell you one thing. Grandchildren are a blessing. They are a blessing. It's a child out of wedlock. But you know, God has no grandchildren. That child is His child. And I pray that I don't fail in this child and raise her in the ways of God. I learn from my mistakes some people sometimes they don't learn from the mistake. They just have to repeat it over and over again. But I learned so much because of my faults and my failures. I almost had a nervous breakdown when I was serving the Lord about 8 years at that time. And I called Mark Balderson, who was working in Mexico City, told him, you know what, I'm going to Irapuato, Guanajuato. I was going to go with Ed Grant before he was married. And when I went over there, I told his missionary in Irapuato, Guanajuato, that I felt something like I was going to have a nervous breakdown. And he said, David, there's a brother here, the missionary, can talk to you. He'll give you 15 minutes. You have to make an appointment. He'll give you 15 minutes. I said, let's go over there. So when we were going over there, we met his wife at a marketplace, and we went with her to the house. And you know, no one showed up for a whole hour. But let me tell you what happened. He said, David, the red light is on, and you need to stop and learn to rest in the Lord. He said, David, if not, you won't be able to make it out of Mexico. They're going to have to take you out. And this is what he said my problem was. David, your ministry has become a substitute for God. Your ministry is taking first place. And there I was working. Here, gotta go there. All in the name of Jesus. Praying for the sick. All in the name of Jesus. But I was losing my relationship with Jesus. My ministry was taking first place. And it did. But you know, God allowed that to happen to me to let me know, son, without me, you cannot do it. You're doing it on your own strength. I found out about my weaknesses, my faults, my imperfections. God was just laying it out on me. Let me know. And when I came back to Palenque, this is the scripture that he gave me in Isaiah 44:22. And when he gave me that, I fell on my knees and I started to cry. He said, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. And this is when I fell on my knees and cried when he said, return to me, for I have redeemed you. And I said, Lord, never again will I put the ministry that you've given me before you. You know, God wants you to have things. He wants you to have a nice house, wants you to have vehicles. He wants you to have things. But he doesn't want things to have you. He doesn't want these things to have you. But he does want you to have them. But never at a price where you're going to put these things before Jesus. And I learned. And I'll never do it again. I've learned, you know, it's something that we learn from my own mistakes and errors. And some people turn around and repeat it over and over again. And you know, when that happened with my daughter, it's easy to ask God, oh Lord, forgive me. But sometimes you get to a place where it's harder to forgive yourself. Some people struggle with it because they do things, you know, they commit sin or they do things, and they ask God to forgive. God is a forgiving God, and he will forgive you. But we have a problem with forgiving ourselves. We have problems. And many of us have these problems on forgiving ourselves, as I have. Let me show you something funny. Elsa and I got held up one time on a bus in Mexico. I like to ride Mexico buses. They're great. They're beautiful buses, comfortable. I mean, you can't beat them. But we just happened to be driving from a place they call the Zapatistas areas. You know, in Mexico, they got held up Zapatistas. Well, we live not too far from that area. So we decided we're going to see this doctor again. And there we go. And I got this money in my pocket. And we left about 10 o'clock. About 11:30, we heard, boom, a big noise. And all of a sudden, the bus driver stops, opens the door, and there come these two young men. They're not wearing a mask, with guns. One of them put the gun on his conductor's head out there, and the other went out there and started getting to the people. And I'll tell you one thing. You should have seen those people. I thought it was so comical. Everybody was taking their money out of the pocket, hiding it in the chairs and everything. And here comes this guy. Well, what I did, here I am, I'm Mr. Cool. I opened up my wallet, I pulled out $20, well, 200 pesos. I pulled it out, I'm just waiting for him to come. So when he saw mine, he just took it and took it. But he saw Elsa's watch. And Elsa, she can't see too pretty good with her glasses. So he wanted that watch. And I'm out there watching Elsa struggling, trying to get that thing out. She couldn't get it out. And he was getting upset. And he's out there trying to get it, and she can't see it well without her glasses, you know. But anyhow, the guy, he shouted at her and told, you know, leave her alone and let's go. So he left her alone and went. That's the first time we ever got held up, you know. But at least we just gave him $20. But anyhow, let me tell you what happened. We went to the hospital. And this guy, I had to get operated on. I had to develop a hernia here. He operated on me. And I'm going to tell you, okay? I'm talking about grown-ups. There's nothing wrong. We all get operated on, okay? But I tell Elsa, Elsa, I need to use the restroom, Elsa. She brought me a little video thing, and I'm reaching on it to use the restroom. And I asked, Elsa, what did the doctor do to me? Would you believe that doctor, without my consent, he circumcised me? He circumcised me without me knowing about it. Now, he ought to be ashamed of himself. You know what he told me? I'm taking the sin away from you. You're a Jew. He told me I was a Jew. I'm taking the sin off of you. You know, if he would have been in the state, I would have sued him. Yeah. Well, you know, he's still my doctor. We just have to put everything in writing from now on. Oh, well. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Being a missionary, I enjoy it. I've never worked in the city. You know, like I said, I've worked mountains. I work mountains and jungles. That's all I work. Okay? I work mountains. You know, I love my wife. I got a sense of humor. And one time I was outside in the backyard, and I called, Elsa, come on outside and give me a hug and a kiss. And there Elsa comes out there to ready me to give me. She looked at me, and I'll tell you one thing. What I did is I got a bunch of worms and put them all over my head, and I got a frog and put it in my pocket. I said, come on, Elsa, give me a hug and a kiss. Elsa hates worms and even frogs. So when I called her to the backyard, you know, to give me a hug and a kiss, she looks out the window before, makes sure I've got no worms all over my head. But you know, I tell you where I work at. And when it rains, there's a lot of mosquitoes. And you see all these frogs, you know, jumping all over. They just all over the place. They come into the house. Well, you know, when you have a flashlight, you know, you just have to use a flashlight in those areas, you know, to where you're going. And instead, you got a bunch of frogs. Well, you know, there's an African proverb. And this is the way it goes. He who has dysentery is not afraid of the dark. So when you go where I'm at, he who has dysentery is not afraid of frogs. He just goes in. Move over, frogs. I'll tell you one thing. Missionary is an exciting thing. You can only, you know, it's hard. Like I said, I've wept, I've been hurt, and everything else. But let me tell you something else that happened to me. You know, I lost 3 teeth not too long ago. I lost 3 teeth not too long ago. 3 teeth? Right here. These 3 teeth are not for real. Okay? And I used to take out my teeth and when I go to the village. I stay at this house and I put up my teeth on this table. And the next morning I look and put them back in. Would you believe one day I woke up and my teeth was gone? A rat stole my teeth. A rat stole my teeth. Ain't that a rat? Just like a rat. I mean, they steal anything. Huh? Yeah, and you smile. From this day, I have never found my teeth. Now, don't you laugh, because someday you're going to lose your teeth too, you know? You're going to lose your teeth. Don't worry about that. It's going to happen to you. Just don't lay them on the table somewhere, because you might end up losing them. Well, they made me 3 more. But I decided I'm not taking these off. I just clean them and brush them and put them back on. They're only 3. Oh, wow. You know, relationships with the Lord is, if I don't do anything else, it's just to have that relationship with Jesus. If I don't have to do anything else, that relationship has got to be priority and number one in our lives if we don't do anything else. Well, I had something happen to me about 4 or 5 years ago that has never happened in the years that I've been walking with the Lord. I went to this doctor again. You know, I wanted to circumcise. But this time I took my wife. And I said, what can he do to my wife, you know? Well, he and his wife have been going through some problems. They fell into sin. And so this another pastor came over there, and he needed an operation too. And his wife took him. But this doctor operated on him. He's a good doctor. He does wonders, you know, when it comes to operating. And this other pastor that needed the operation, well, his wife came to me, and she said, brother, could you have a service for the doctor's wife? I told, okay. So I said, Lord, you know, I've been asked to give service to a small service to this brother's wife, this doctor's wife. She's a nurse also, and she's a doctor. They're all Christians now. And, okay. So after about 7:30, I went, and they had a chapel. They have the chapel, but they don't ever have service there. So I went to the chapel. It was the doctor. He sat over there. His wife sat there. And the other brother that had the operation was over there. No, he didn't come because he was in the room recovering. But his wife sat next to the doctor's wife, and there was another couple there. So anyhow, I was going to start to minister to share with her, and I bowed my head. And I'll tell you one thing. I hope this happens to you. If it doesn't, don't give up. Because it will. It will happen in ways that you do not know. Maybe it not might happen the way it happened to me, but it'll happen in ways that you do not know. And when I bow my knees to pray for her, Jesus stood next to me. And I'll tell you one thing, when he did, and when he ever does, you will never have any doubt in your heart. That's Jesus. I didn't know what to say. And then he was giving me some words for her. And I tell you one thing, they were just brief. I mean, maybe about 10, 15 minutes maybe. Maybe not even 15, maybe just about 10 minutes. And I was giving her these words. They were saying that he loved her and cared for her. But it's just beautiful words. And I told her, I said, you know what? You know, I knew that the Lord was already finished. And I told her, you know what? I don't want to open my eyes because I don't want him to go. I don't want him to go. You know, I don't want to open my eyes. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what else to say. You know, I can't let just words, my own words, come out because it was he who was speaking through me. So I didn't have anything else to say. But he just stayed there for a while. And he was gone. But I'll tell you one thing. When he was gone, I still didn't want to open up my eyes because I have never, you know, felt this thing and saw it so beautiful. You know what? I read a book. And in this book, and it's right, it's all right, because, you know, Jesus never promised that you would feel his presence. You know that. You will never find that in the Bible. He never said that you will feel his presence. You know, sometimes people get this illusion when they go into a church, they say, you know what, I didn't feel the presence of the Lord. And then they'll go out. Well, you know what? You don't have to feel God's presence to know that he's with you because his word tells you that he's with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. So I'm telling you one thing. Many times I don't feel Jesus. There are times that I don't feel him. A lot of times I do. But because I don't feel him, that does not mean that he's not with me. He is with me because his word tells me so. And his word does not return void. His word does not return void. You know, let me tell you one thing. I went to Toronto, the Toronto Blessings. Well, I found out one thing. You know, they got hundreds and thousands, millions of people have gone to Toronto Blessings. You heard of Toronto Blessings, the church in Canada? Well, I've got news for you. You don't have to go to Toronto. Revival. People say, you know what, I'm going to go to this church. I'm going to go to revival. Okay, that's fine. But you know what? Revival starts with you. Revival is with me. Revival is in me. I have the peace of God. I have praised God. You know, I've been to these revivals. I've been to these revivals. But revival is with us. I'll tell you one thing. If nobody goes to a church where they have revival, they're not going to see revival because no one's there. You need people to have revival. I saw a sign one time. And it said, it had a picture right there. It had a picture that said, the perfect church. And the reason it was perfect, because it didn't have no members. There were no members. That's why it was perfect. Once you have members, the church is no longer perfect. You know, I'll tell you one thing. God chose imperfect people to do his perfect will. I'm far from being perfect, let me tell you one thing, but he chose a guy who was a thief to do his perfect will. Hallelujah, praise God. You know, I tell you one thing, revival is in us. And like I said, I come in, I might not feel Jesus, but I'll tell you one thing, he came in with me and he's going out with me, and we're going to go have ice cream together. Praise God. Isn't that right? That's right. Well, two or three gathered together, I'm with you. I'm going to give me a double dip. Now, I might not get double dip, but I know he's with me. He came with me. I'm going with me. Wherever I go, he's there. He is there. He was there when I was in Oaxaca. I had ants in my bed and roaches in my cast. He was there. Amen. And he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. And I tell you one thing, I'm going to keep on going. But I'm going to watch out when I go to that doctor. Watch the fellow. God is a good God. And he'll take us to the other side. Remember that scripture I said? Let's go to the other side. Read chapter 5, verse 1. And what did it say? What did it say? Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. Remember it says in Mark chapter 4 verse 35, he said, let's go over to the other side. That's what he told him. And then in Mark chapter 5 verse 1, he says they crossed over to the other side. He kept his promise. He has taken me over to the other side many a times. He will never fail me. Because if he does, it'll be the first time. And that will never happen. That will never happen. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Go through what I go through, I'm going to continue. But it's been his grace and his mercy, his love and compassion that saw me through all these things. Eat what I eat, drink what I drink, and I may fall, but he'll pick me up. And, okay, son, let's keep on going. Yes, Papa. Yes, Daddy. Help me because I can't alone. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father God. Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy that you have upon each and every one of us, Father. Even if sometimes, Father God, is we may not feel your presence and feel that you're not with us, but Lord, we know that you are because your word clearly tells us that, Father. And your word will never return void, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for the things that you have brought me out of, Father God, and the things that you were going to take me through. And I know that, Lord, you will take me to the other side because that is a promise, not only for me, but for each and every one that is here, that you will take us to the other side. And I thank you, Father God, for your grace, for your faithfulness, Lord, that you show us, Father God. I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your mercy, Father. I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.